Amen. Good morning, church. Get your Bibles out. You're going to be needing them. Hopefully you've been reading them during the week. If not, you will now. We will be speaking on prayer. Brother McReynolds, will you get me Hebrews 13 and 15? Brother Pickett, will you give me Proverbs 15 and 8? Brother Burnside, William Burnside, Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Brother Smith, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Brother Michael Davis, 1 Peter 5 and 7. Brother Milton, would you get me Matthew 6, 5 through 8? Brother Booker Lewis, get me John 16 and 24. Brother Wayne Harris, Psalms 95 and 6. And we will hold there for a moment. We're going to be talking about prayer, but before we do that, let us go to our God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we thank you for allowing us to assemble here to learn more about your word. We thank you for this golden opportunity to assemble one with another so that we can edify each other and praise your holy name. We want to thank you for the strength in our limbs and the clarity of our minds. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning when you did not have to. We want to thank you for your son who died and bled on the cross so that we may have a chance at the tree of life. We want to thank you for all these things that you have given unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Webster's dictionary defines prayer as a petition to God in word and in thought. I'm going to give it to you a little bit simpler. Prayer is our communication line to God. It is how we communicate with the Almighty. Why do I say that? Because God does not telephone. God does not email. God is not on Facebook. And God does not Twitter. Your only way to reach God is through prayer. If you look at the featured text, it said, and his ears are open to what? To their prayers. So the only way that you're going to reach God is through prayer. What is prayer? Let us find out what prayer is. Brother McReynolds, what is prayer? Hebrews 13 and 15. It is the sacrifice of praise to who? To God. That is what prayer is. We go to pray to God to thank him for the things that he has done for us on this earth. We go to God and we cast our cares upon him because we know he is able. We go to God to thank him for the things that he has done for us in this life and sometimes to ask for the needs that we have. This is why we pray to God. So we know what prayer is. Prayer is the sacrifice of our lips. Notice God is not asking you to kill a fatted calf. He's not asking you to sacrifice a lamb. He's asking for the sacrifice of your lips. And I don't mean lip service either. God is not mocked. The prayer should come from the heart and asking for what you need. Not necessarily what you want. Because God is a God of needs. Why do we pray? Proverbs 15 and 8. What does it say, Brother Pickett? Yes. So we pray to what? To delight the Lord. To delight the Lord. Because our prayers are a delight to him. Notice it says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayers are a delight. What does Colossians 4, 2 through 4 say, Brother Burnside? We pray so that we may spread the word of Christ, so that when that opportunity comes to us, we will boldly speak that needs to be spoken. so that we can help save a poor soul that is lost. So we pray for the strength that we have the ability to do that. We pray that we may spread the word of God. We also pray, Brother Smith, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. What does it say? We pray for what? All men. We pray for their soul's salvation. We pray for the needs of the earth and the world that we live in. We pray that our leaders make right decisions. We pray to God for guidance, and that they, our leaders also will have guidance. That is why we pray. We also pray because we want to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5 and 7, what does it say?
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How can you cast your cares upon Jesus Christ if you don't pray to him? Yes, God knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly your situation. But sometimes he wants you to ask. So that is what prayer is. Our way of casting our cares upon the Almighty. How should we pray? That's something else we need to know. How to pray. Brother Milton, Matthew 6, 5 through 8, what does it say? So what he's saying here, do not make a spectacle of yourself. When you pray, pray from the heart. Go to your Father in secret and he will reward you. How? Openly. A lot of words aren't necessary in a prayer. In fact, your prayer can be short and sweet. God already knows what you want and what you need. All he's asking for you to do is ask for it and to pray to him and praise his holy name. So you don't have to pray a long prayer. How do you know what a long prayer is? If your prayer is longer than the sermon, you might be up there a little too long. Book of Lewis, John 16 and 24, what does it say? Notice what it says. We ought to ask in whose name? Christ's name, right? We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. So when we go to pray, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ when we're praying to the Father. Now, what position should you be in when you pray? A lot of people get hung up on position. So let us see what position you should be in when you offer your prayer to God. Psalms 95 and 6, Brother Harris, what does it say? Okay. Brother Paul Davis, would you get me Matthew 26 and 39? Brother James Carter, would you get me Luke 18 and 13? And Brother Calvin Lee, would you get me 1 Timothy 2 and 8? We're going to look a little bit more at position, how we should position ourselves when we pray. So far, Brother Harris has told us, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. So now, what does it say, Matthew 26 and 39? What does it say?
39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Wait a minute now. First of all, in Psalms it says we should kneel. Now here is Jesus Christ falling on his what?
Face.
his face. Let us see what Luke 18 and 13 says, Brother Connor. Well, here we have a tax collector standing afar. He was what? Standing afar off. So far we got kneeling, falling on the face, and standing, right? Let's look at 1 Timothy 2 and 8, Brother Lee. What does it say? Now it's talking about lifting up holy hands, Brother Jackson. So far we got kneeling, we got falling on our face, we got standing, now we got lifting up holy hands. So what does that mean? It means it doesn't matter what position you're in. If you're flat on your back, you can pray to God. If you're standing up, you can pray to God. If you're drowning 20 feet under the water, you can pray to God. So position does not matter. When should you pray? When should you pray? Now, that's an interesting question. When should you pray? Let us find out. Brother Hill, would you give me Acts 1 and 14? Brother Isaiah Lee, would you give me Ephesians 5 and 20? And Brother Jackson, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Let us find out when we should pray. Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. We're going to find out when should we pray. What does Acts 1 and 14 say, Brother Hill? 1 and 14. How were they praying? Constantly in prayer. Notice it didn't say, it said constantly in prayer. They continued with one accord in prayer. So they were constantly in prayer. What does Ephesians 5 and 20 say?
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Always in prayer, right? Brother Jackson, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. What does it say?
Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
So when? Anytime is fine. Anytime you can sit there, raise your lips to the God Almighty. Give the praise and sacrifice of your lips. Anytime is a good time. Not just when you're in trouble either. Because a lot of you wait until you're in trouble. God wants to hear from you before you get in trouble. God already knows you're in trouble, then we all want to turn to him. But when everything is going well, we seem to forget about God. Don't be like the Israelites, who continuously kept going away from the Lord Almighty. Don't be like that. Why do we pray? Because there's power in prayer. What kind of power? Brother Bell, would you get me 2 Kings 20, 1 through 6? Brother Bellinger, would you get me Acts 12, 5 through 8? And Brother Cabot, would you get me James 5, 13 through 16? We're going to find about this power that is in prayer. Why should we pray? What kind of power is there? Brother Bell, do you have 2 Kings 20, 1 through 6? And what does it say? Hezekiah was near what? Death. And what did he do? I can't hear you. He prayed, didn't he? And what did it say? That the Lord did what? Heard his prayer. So the Lord is listening, isn't he? Waiting for the prayer. Hezekiah prayed. God already knew Hezekiah's situation because he had already told Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to do what? You're going to surely die. But Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and reminded him of what he had done. Not that the Lord didn't already know, but Hezekiah needed to go in prayer to ask the Lord Almighty. And the Lord heard his prayer. There's power in prayer. The Lord heard his prayer and said, I will give you what? 15 more years on your life. 15 more years. Brother Bellinger, Acts 12, 5 through 8, what does it say? Notice what happened here. The church was doing what? In constant prayer. For who? For Peter. God heard their prayer. And what did he do? He sent an angel of the Lord to the prison. Now, notice where Peter was. Peter, this is how guarded he was. He was between two guards and chained. The angel of the Lord came because the Lord had heard the prayer of the church. The church had been praying constantly for Peter. And the Lord rescued Peter. There's power in prayer. James 5, 13 through 16, Brother Cabot, what does it say? Now, let's take a look at these verses here. Is any among you suffering? It says, do what? Let them pray, right? So you are supposed to pray if you're suffering. Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church so that they may do what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Brother Burnside and Brother Jackson are going to tell you right now, we don't have no healing anointing oil for you. Oil back in those days was considered to have medicinal purposes. But what Brother Jackson and I can do for you is pray. So don't look for Brother Burnside to put on his platinum healing glove and think you're going to be healed. It's not going to happen. And notice, and the prayer of faith will do what? Save the sick. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. There's power in prayer. Not only that, the last verse says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. So there's power in prayer. Brother Miles, would you get me Acts 10, 1 through 5? Because we're going to talk about how prayer is answered. Get me Acts 10, 1 through 5, Brother Miles. And Brother Lee, would you get me 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10? We're going to talk about how prayer is answered. Brother Kelvin. Acts 10, 1 through 5, what does it say, Brother Miles? Yes, Acts 10, 1 through 5. We want to talk about answering prayer. Now, Brother Miles, you know when I get up here and start preaching, you got to have your Bible ready. 1 through 5. Yes, 1 through 5. You're right. You're in the right place.
A centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Notice what it says here. It was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius. It says this was a centurion. Now, a centurion was a man who was in the Roman army. He was a commander of 100 men. That's why he was called a centurion. He was of the Italian regiment. It says that he was a what? A devout man. One who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people. And here's the important part. And prayed to God how? Always. God heard Cornelius' prayer. Because, and it came up as a memorial to him. He sent Peter to Cornelius because Cornelius needed to be saved. Cornelius was a devout man. Cornelius' prayer was answered by God. God gave Cornelius a yes to his prayer. Let us take a look at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. What does it say, Brother Lee? Notice here that this is Paul speaking. Paul asked the Lord to remove this thorn in his flesh. How many times?
Three times.
Three times. And what was the answer? What was the answer? My grace is sufficient. So God told him what? No. Y'all seem to have a problem with that word. I don't know if it's a problem with the N or the O. But sometimes the answer to your prayer is no. You don't have to worry. You don't have a God of maybe. it's either going to be one or two answers. You're either going to get a yes or you're going to get a no. Remember, there are two answers to a prayer, and you don't always get the one you want. But let this be known, as he told Paul, my what is sufficient? My grace is sufficient. Finally, there sometimes you get a no answer for a reason. Why do I get a no answer for a reason, Brother Burnside? Because you have prayed improperly. You have made an improper prayer. What's an improper prayer? Let us take a look. Will someone give me Luke 20:45-47? And Brother McReynolds, since I began with you, I will end with you. Would you give me James 4:3? What does Luke 20:45-47 say? Notice what it says here. And for a pretense or for a show, they do what? Make lengthy, long prayers. If you're doing it for show, people, that's an improper prayer. You are supposed to be praying to praise to God Almighty. If you're trying to make people think that you can pray long prayers and you look good doing it, you're praying for the wrong reason. Finally, James 4:3, what does it say, Brother McReynolds?
James 4:3 says, he asked and received not, because you ask amiss, that you may have consumed it upon your life.
You ask and do not receive because you ask how? Amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. A lot of us pray for what we want, not what we need. God knows what you need and God knows what you want. A lot of us sometimes we'd be praying to God, oh God, I need a car to get to my job. And you walk out and you get mad at God because he put a Yugo out there, not the Cadillac Seville you wanted. He gave you what you needed, not what you wanted. Too many times we ask for what we want. We have a tendency to confuse wants and needs. What you need is shelter, food, and a job, and the health and strength in your limbs. If you got that, you can go and get everything else. So ask God for what you need, not what you want. Because there's power in prayer. But God's not going to answer you if you ask amiss. There's power in prayer because we need to pray for all those who are lost in this world. There's power in prayer because we pray for those who have fallen off and short of the glory of God. There's power in prayer, so we should pray unceasingly. Because in prayer, we communicate with God, and it's our only way to do so. So how do we go about communicating with God, and how do we get to that point? First of all, you got to hear. You got to hear the word of the Lord. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. You have to believe what you've heard. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's Acts 16:30-31. You have to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, you have to give confession. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to be baptized. No, you can't just stop at the confession part. You have to go into the water of baptism, where the blood and the water mingle and make you a new creature in Christ. So you have to be baptized. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And finally, you have to continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them. And one of those things that you have to continue in, let me hear you say it, church. Oh, no, y'all can do it together now. Come on. There we go. Prayer. Now, we have to sit there and we're going to have to pray. I don't care what position you are in when you pray, but now is the time and now is the hour when you need prayer. Prayer can save your soul. You need prayer. Prayer is your way of communicating with the Almighty. So as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, remember to pray for everyone.
421.